Hey, Josh, you know what was really weird about yesterday?
Tell me.
I woke up and I had a roof over my head and I had clean clothes.
Yes.
And my car was totally fine to drive. I had a workplace to go to that, you know, had electricity and working computers. Oh, hey, Josh, guess what?
What?
It's been a year since Hurricane Michael.
Hey. yeah, well, I mean, you had that on the morning of October 10th, 2018, but not October 11th.
Oh, this is true. So happy 1 year since the really big hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were able to put to, you know.
So a year ago, Hurricane Michael hit Bay County as a Category 5 hurricane, and it knocked out our place of work. Both of our homes.
Yeah. I didn't realize it at the time, but yeah.
Yeah. It pretty much turned everything upside down, and we were still able to put out a newspaper every day.
Every day we did.
Every day.
Exactly. Yes, we, you know, even though our printing press was temporarily offline, mm-hmm. we were still able to, you know, work with people from Montgomery, Alabama, and our colleagues at other Gatehouse papers. And people that were on vacation from our paper to still put out a paper every single day.
Yeah. So yesterday, the community had different ways of commemorating the one-year anniversary. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our special, glittering one-year hurricane anniversary podcast.
On Shooting the Shot.
With Patty and Josh. Welcome, everybody.
So, okay. So this has been... We've been working on our 1 year like coverage for a couple months now, and we've already done, you and I have done one podcast, and then you did one with Mike Kaslas.
I did.
About some of the special coverage that we did.
It was super weird. For the record, it was super weird doing a podcast without you.
It feels really weird to say it, but I like agree. It felt weird to hear both your and Kaz's voice coming from the closet that we record podcasts in while I'm sitting at my desk. I'm like I heard you doing your podcast voice, your radio voice.
My radio voice.
And I felt like why am I like I'm not ready. I don't have my water, you know, like I don't have my coffee. What are we doing here? So, and then uh-huh. and I was like, no, I need to like, I'm not part of this podcast.
Back to work is yeah. what I yelled at you.
Exactly.
No, that's not true.
Through, okay. Yeah. You can hear it on the podcast too. but yeah, so yeah. But the day of was, there were events all over our community.
Absolutely. It was wonderful. Everybody got along.
Yeah. There were charities that came back. Their politicians were from across the state came. The governor announced that programs were being extended. And
George Gaynor was there.
George Gaynor was there.
It's always a good day when George Gaynor is there.
Oh,
I yes, always say
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, everyone.
No, it was great. It was a great day. I had a great day.
I really did, too. It was really, you know, it was rewarding, but it was kind of a, you know, they told us, you know, like people who you know, came and visited us from other papers who had more experience with like and more knowledge about PTSD and news reporting, mm-hmm. you know, told us that, you know, to kind of watch out for each other around anniversaries. And, you know, I thought that knowing that would make it a lot easier to not have the anniversary affect me so much.
But thought it would make you immune.
Yeah. And it really didn't. I guess, how did you feel yesterday?
How did I feel yesterday? I felt sad at a lot of points. I felt happy at a lot of points. It's just is what it is. I mean,
yeah.
I gave myself time to pause when I needed to. What we went through last year was a lot of trauma, definitely.
Right.
Fortunately, neither of us got seriously hurt last year, but
just our, you know, property, you know.
Just things, our property.
You know, things like that.
I know. I messed up my foot pretty bad, but fortunately nothing bad happened with it.
Mm.
But
yeah. Katie got a big cat scratch, but that was before landfall.
That was pre-hurricane, that might have been an animal reacting to the hurricane, as critters often do.
Well, and also the cat had just been, you know, brought in from the outside.
Yeah.
So, but, mama cat. But yeah,
yeah
but no.
Yeah. So yesterday you were telling me that you were having strange feelings. You had a lot of anxiety. I remember you told me at one point you felt a little sick.
Yeah. I think that, you know, like I, you know, I made sure to go to bed early and wake up, you know, so I could wake up early and kind of like settle into the day. But, you know, when I was driving, you know, down 23rd Street and, you know, like turning on to like Martin Luther King to go up to an assignment, I was, you know, I just kept having these like flashes of these moments, you know, not like necessarily from the 10th, but like from that week after of, you know, like the long, like you probably have seen the photograph of the, you know, like the lineman trucks and the big trucks, like full of new utility poles just kind of flashed through my head. You know, I like thought of, like I, you know, I drove past Jinx and then I remembered like the first time that I drove down Jinx after the storm and, you know, just remembered, you know, seeing the trees and the power lines all over, or you know, Jenks Avenue and all that kind of stuff just kept going into my head. I really felt like I couldn't get like a full breath, pretty much all day long.
Yeah, that's anxiety. That's what anxiety feels like. It feels like you can't breathe sometimes, and that's normal. And it's good to talk about this kind of thing.
Yeah,
you got to bring it to the surface because if you tuck it away, it's just going to get worse.
You know, but at the same time, though. You know, it the work that I was doing felt really valuable. You know, it felt like we were putting like a bookend, you know, like we were wrapping up this like, you know, chapter one of, you know, Bay County's recovery from Hurricane Michael. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, and I think the fact that I felt like I was doing something, you know, worthwhile that day made it a lot easier for me.
Absolutely. Something like that is always easier to process, I believe, when you feel like you have a purpose with it. And that was our purpose with it. That was our job. We were able to keep doing our jobs. Some people probably felt really lost that day because they couldn't go to work. Work didn't exist anymore. Their whole job was just to survive.
Right.
Our job was still to tell stories.
Right.
That job didn't stop being a job after Hurricane Michael smashed through here. So...
Yeah. I didn't feel like I was like suffering needlessly, you know, after, you know, for like the weeks and months after the storm.
We had a reason to suffer.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah. I thought about how bad our sunburns were yesterday. Do you remember that?
I do remember that now.
I remember like being so mad at myself for not thinking to put on sunscreen.
Because like we walked past sunscreen in... You know, the Smith family house, like three times before we left the door, we just like, you know, hurricane brain did not, you know, lather up.
Oh, I didn't take enough water either. I happened to see a friend who was handing out water and that's the only reason I had enough.
Yeah, for real. Gosh.
It was crazy.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Totally. But
for all
the
walking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess now what did you photograph yesterday?
Yesterday I spent pretty much all day in Mexico Beach. I don't know. I needed to be there yesterday and I don't know how to explain why.
Right.
But I felt like we needed to have somebody there and we're pretty short staffed right now. So that somebody was me. And I actually went through Mexico Beach. I went to a couple places where we had spoken to people, done a few interviews over this year and knocked on a few doors. Some people weren't there. Some people were. And it was, it was good. It was good to see the area after a year of work on it. I flew the drone around. I flew Big Red.
Yes.
Big Red went on a little tour of Mexico Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see that all of the canal looks clear now.
Right. Yeah.
At least all the parts that I've seen of it. But the canal, it was absolutely shredded right after the hurricane. It was full of bits of... Everything that went through that hurricane became sharp little bits of whatever it was before.
Yep.
And it was nice to see it finally clear to that.
Yeah.
I think they dredged it too.
Did they?
Yeah, I saw some dredging equipment out there.
Oh, sick. Good.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Yeah. Wait, who did you go out there with? It was Colin for the whole day?
No. Colin went in the evening.
Okay.
So I was out there in the morning and the afternoon by myself.
Mm-hmm.
just doing the photographer thing. Went over to the Mexico Beach Police Department because they have a sort of a lost and found collection.
I'm so excited about these pictures.
So after the hurricane, a lot of cleanup crews came through and the police were there, emergency responders, and people kept bringing things to the Mexico Beach Police Department that they thought that people who had had homes might want. And these aren't necessarily valuable items. It's they started out, I think he said they had 300 items in the collection, and now they're down to about 100.
Yeah.
And they're really just trying to return everything to the owners. And this kind of stuff, it is, I'm from a family of pack rats.
Sure.
It's treasure.
Right.
It is, some things were like, there was a Girl Scout vest from maybe the 80s.
Oh my goodness.
A very old Girl Scout vest and a lot of baseball cards.
Right.
A marriage certificate from 1944.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So this is like, and so, you know, I'm, and it's so visual, but in such a interesting, unique way.
In a very heartbreaking way.
Yeah.
It's a very sad, lost and found, you know. It's,
yeah, I'm really excited to see how you photographed it once you're done. When can people look to see it?
It'll be up after we put up this podcast. It'll be online at newsherald.com. they can go through the gallery. So what happened was, I helped him photograph some of the things that were harder to photograph, but actually before I'd got there, he had done the cop thing where you put a number next to the piece of evidence.
Yeah.
And you take a picture of it, and he had a description for it, and he had it all filed.
Oh my goodness. Interesting.
So honestly, he actually got to a lot of it before I got there.
Okay.
I helped him with some of the more, he had these gold foil baseball cards. He
needed Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? Gold foil. And these things are, I think they're valuable. I don't know my baseball cards very well.
Depends on who's on it.
I guess you're
Depends
right.
on how many of them were made. Yeah. You know?
There's also jewelry.
I mean, it's definitely going to be valuable to the people who it gets returned to.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm sure people thought was lost forever.
Yeah.
There was even something like there was a cooler that had a bunch of random items in it. And one of the things in there was just a, out of a sewing kit, right? It was just a little tin full of yarn.
Oh, interesting.
I know, right? But I'm sure that belongs to somebody's grandma.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
She exactly. might not want it back necessarily, but I don't know. I don't know how your family operates. Mine, some things like that have a story to it.
Right, right. Yeah.
My family, if somebody passes away, nobody cares about the big valuable antiques. We're all fighting over like a 25-cent knickknack with the great story.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Oh my gosh.
We love stories in my family. So this is going to be a really big thing, and I'm really excited to be able to maybe help a little bit with getting these things back to the people they belong to.
All right. Well, cool.
It feels like a good way to wrap up a year after the hurricane, too.
That's definitely true. Yeah, that'll be really cool. Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah. But let's get back to, the last thing I did during the day is I went to the 1 year later celebration at Mexico Beach. Rockin' Ron was entertaining the crowd.
Hey.
It was a good time. It was a big party. A lot of politicians speaking, a lot of people buying t-shirts.
Perfect.
A lot
you
of
gotta.
Food at Mango Marley's. I believe they were feeding people for free.
I still haven't eaten at Mango Marley's.
I haven't either. We're both bad people.
Well, both of our hands are full.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, like we got to use both hands for that camera.
If anybody would like to sponsor us going down to Mexico Beach specifically to eat at Mango Marley's, you can email me at pblake@pcnh.com.
Yeah, you can email her.
Don't email Josh.
I loved I loved those, like, you know, because of the golden light and
yes,
you know,
I threw the drone up in the air before sunset, as is legal.
Yep, exactly. You've got
30 minutes.
Civil twilight.
Yep, because we have the anti-collision lights on our drone.
Hey.
So I threw that up, and it was just a really nice, really nice way to see that.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm super excited to look through those again.
Tell me about your day. You started your day in a very special place. I've only slept there once.
Right. I was at the at Shelley Summers's tent camp, and basically, you know, spoke with one of the residents there, Reese, who declined to give her last name. She has been, you know, she was living with family before Hurricane Michael. That place was destroyed in the storm, you know, lost its roof, walls, everything was soaked, and then was living out of her truck for a few weeks after the storm. And, you know, since, but then, you know, through, you know, family connections and through word of mouth, was able to find Shelley Summers's tent community and has been living in a green plastic shed since then. And, you know, and that was really important to me to be there as close to the day as possible so that I could kind of get an idea of, like, you know, a year later, you know, what is really, you know, yes, so much good has happened. You know, so much has been rebuilt. So many millions of pounds of debris has been removed. But there still are these people who, because of, you know, the fact that they're just isn't enough housing or enough housing at a price that people can actually afford, you know, are still homeless and are living off of the kindness of strangers. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of show that, you know, we still do have work to do, you know, and then for the rest of my day, talk about, you know, the successes and celebrate and commemorate all of the gains that we've made for the rest of the day.
Before we get to that, though, let's talk about this. I love your photos from this. They were actually just picked up by the AP, so you might see them.
Yep.
Even outside of national publications.
Even outside of your local paper, if you're local to Pamela City. If you're local to somewhere else, you might see them there.
So what's the general, I want to say, vibe in this camp?
It's pretty quiet now. You know, it was up to 37 people. And now it's down to less than a dozen, you know.
Okay.
Not being terribly specific right now, mm-hmm. on purpose. So, you know, and also most of the people there, at the, you know, who are currently living there by 9:30, when we were, you know, told to be there, were mostly gone at work, you know, because it's, you know, the middle of the work week. Mm-hmm. So basically it kind of just had this, like, you know, two people to hang out with and speak with and to photograph.
Yeah. I thought I saw a Christmas tree. Yes. I loved seeing that the Christmas tree is still up.
Yes. The Christmas tree is still up. They decorated it for all of the different holidays over the summer.
Oh, I love that. This is a wonderful place. I went there earlier this year with Katie Landeck. We did an overnight here, and it was wonderful to meet the people that live there.
Absolutely.
And, they're just hardworking, and they're at a point in their life where they just need a hand, and this is a wonderful place for them to be. There were three rules when I got there. They're probably still in place. No drinking, no drugs, no drama.
Yeah, that's still the rule. And you know, and there's still, you know, rabbits and chickens.
I love the rabbits.
And there's a puppy.
There's a puppy.
Yeah, there it was just
way to bury the lead.
It's just he was adorable.
And your computer just froze. And we're back.
Yep. And actually I was really glad to see this. You know, one of my favorite photos from when you were first out there was one of the residents working with a Dremel to make a little fairy house out of a stump. Here's the finished product.
I cannot believe she actually finished it.
Yeah.
She just had, like, the one little woodworking tool.
Yeah, and I think the photo that you took is just this little window right here that I'm pointing at with my cursor that you, dear listener, cannot see.
Well, you can go to newshero.com and see Josh's gallery.
And we will include the link to this in the description.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, okay. After this, I believe you went to Lynn Haven for their celebration.
Yes, and as you know, many of you know, Lynn Haven was hit really hard by mm-hmm. the storm, you know.
I feel like Mayor Margo Anderson has done a lot.
She's definitely gained a lot of national attention for mm-hmm. a lot of unique stuff.
She's proactive.
Proactive, just giving people money.
Yeah, you know, up, she applied for grants to just give people money after the hurricane.
Yeah.
And they got them. It was amazing.
It's very, yeah. She's been very interesting. And the whole town has really, you know, been very organized with a lot of their recovery stuff and also with, you know, these different types of events.
Yeah.
So that was very fun to be there for that, you know, commemoration and celebration mm-hmm. is what they called it.
So City Hall was demolished. Well, not all of City Hall. One of the buildings next to the police department that they used for meetings was demolished during the hurricane.
Yep.
And I believe they had a lot of staff in there when it got hit. So it was just amazing. It's totally cleared out now, though, correct?
I believe, yeah. I believe now it's parking now. So,
yeah. Yep.
And then, so then I was able to quickly then run back to the office after that and turn my photos from my two morning assignments and then run over to Panama City Hall because the governor, DeSantis, and a lot of other people from a lot of different agencies from, you know, Jared Moskowitz was there, representative from FEMA was there, and they just, you know, announced, you know, different programs and also kind of recapped, you know, kind of what each of their organization had done over the last year. And
gotcha.
Then I, you know, ran back to the office and put those on our server and also sent them to the AP and then headed over to Night to Unite, organized by Rebuild Bay County.
I was so excited to see your photos from this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I like the.
How many people do you think were there? Was it packed like a football game?
There was a lot of people there. There was, you know, there was people from all different kinds of organizations. There was people just there with their families to enjoy it. There was a pretty good turnout. And you know, even when there's like other organizations also having events that night too. Biggest celebrity, sorry, Mr. Governor, was definitely Abby Cadabby, one of the Muppets from Sesame Street.
Yes.
Was there.
I bet she was very excited to see everybody.
Of course. She's much taller in real life than she is on the TV show.
Oh, people could say the same thing about me.
Exactly.
I'm much taller than I appear in this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, but it also was just fun to run into a lot of different... I ran into a lot of people that I hadn't seen for, you know, months. You know, it was very fun to run into people and do that. But, you know, it we kind of... You know, the events that I photographed, you know, basically after 11 a.m. yesterday were all, like, very, you know, reflective on what was lost, but kind of like, you know, very much like a charge for action to like, hey, this is also like, look at all that we've done in this year, in this last year, and we can continue to do more.
That's good. Yeah. I like the message that we can continue to rebuild because there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Aren't the kids here resilient?
Okay. New Gulf Choir, NUGULF Choir. They are amazing.
Josh is your biggest fan, just so you know. He came in yesterday telling me about them. That was the first thing out of his mouth.
So, okay, their second song that they performed, part of it, you know, was them, you know, stomping as part of their choreography and also percussion, and they you know, were vibrating the stage so much that the laptop that was feeding their backing track fell off of the table it was on, unplugged. And then I saw the audio techs like, you know, scampering to like to hook it back up and all that kind of stuff. But the kids did not miss a beat. And like I saw like the two, you know, teens who were kind of like more in charge of the choir, they just kind of like, you know, directed the kids to like stomp louder and to sing, you know, and to, you know, continue singing, continue the choreography. And then they did not miss a beat. They continued and just rolled into the second verse.
I love it.
It was great. I like talked to some people and they're like, yeah, oh wait, that wasn't on purpose, because it was great. It was perfectly timed. Like, nope, that's just how it goes.
These kids, they're awesome. We have resilient kids here and I'm so proud of them.
I see them in a few events, but not very many. But
speaking of kids, a lot of the videos from the Voices of the Storm feature, those have been getting a lot of hits.
Good.
I don't know if you've listened to our other podcasts where we explain what Voices of the Storm is. Editor Mike Cazalaz and I went around doing 71 video interviews with people, and we took all of those interviews where people describe their experience from Hurricane Michael, and we plotted them on a map. And the final product is a really cool news package.
Absolutely. So, yeah. There's a map. You can touch it, you can click on it and move around to like see how it affected, you know, different people in different parts of town.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting, very cool stuff.
It's very, very exciting stuff. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think we've done, as many types of features as we possibly could. I don't think we've left any area. I don't know. I think our coverage of this hurricane over the last year has been pretty good. What do you think?
It's been extremely thorough. Yeah.
Thorough is the word.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, I was going to say, well, we haven't done, we've done everything, you know, from you know, stars to portrait series to, you know, mixed multimedia to like traditional video multimedia. Yeah, we've done everything. So, you know,
it's been a wild ride this last year.
You know, as we were leaving the office yesterday, you know, you and I, like, you know, stood outside of our temporary office and we, like, talked about, you know, like what we were doing a year, you know, like last year, like at like 8:30.
Yes. And, you know, even outside of this podcast, Joshua and I are pretty good friends.
Yeah.
And yesterday I understood you were trying to say something very profound to kind of wrap up the day and turn off the lights, and I appreciated that. I appreciated I truly
No, I was just trying to remember, you know.
Yeah,
like,
no, it was a good moment.
Well,
because
like my whole, because the whole day I'd been like just like intrusive thoughts of like all the negative stuff, and then like when I walked outside, I just remembered, you know, like,
could you breathe again?
Yeah, I could. I like once it was done, I felt like I had this weight come off of my shoulder.
Same.
You know,
I've had my eye on the 1 year wrap up for a long time, and it's been hard for me to kind of see coverage past it.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot to do, but it feels good to have this benchmark. And
yeah.
Yeah, the idea that we got through it, man. We got through a Cat 5 hurricane.
Yep.
And we didn't miss a paper.
We did not. All right. So what's next?
What's next? I have no idea.
Let's I guess that's not a fair question, because we've been using up 110% of our brain on this for like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, I have no idea what comes next. Hopefully not a tsunami.
Oh my gosh.
Not another wildfire. I've had plenty of those.
Yeah.
Floods, fires.
I meant bugs. What's next for the News Herald, not what's next for doom and destruction.
I don't know, Josh. It's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be well covered.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we do here.
We're going to do it to the best of our ability. All right.
That's
well,
the truth.
This has been
Shooting the Shot
with Patty and Josh.